a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G, yo.
And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
It's in Minshew's hand, and a drop by Goodson. Texans make the stop, and they take over up by six.
Texans swarm!
Hell yeah.
Swarm. Sorry.
That was a little late there.
Yeah.
It's okay. You didn't know
it's week one.
Deep steel blue pill was coming. It is week one. Look, first couple of weeks of the regular season in the NFL, a lot like the preseason, they are. I mean, we saw the referees working their way through last night's game, and while they are not the reason that the Chiefs won that game, like so many people want to believe, they had some rough moments. And I'm sure there will be some rough moments in Brazil, and I fear for those referees leaving the stadium. I truly do.
And their pet dogs back at home.
Well, if they have a pet dog back at home, that would be nice, but I hope they didn't bring it to Brazil, because I don't know what they do in Brazil. I don't. Listen, I'm sorry. Like, I've watched a lot of Narcos. And Colombia and Brazil are totally different countries. But I've also played a Call of Duty level where you're running through a favela in Brazil and it seemed dangerous. I've also seen a Fast and Furious movie. Brazil seems dangerous.
Paul, you're being really xenophobic right now.
Fine, but can we not play the games there? Like, I get it. You like the bag. We're trying to make the game international. No, you like someone paid you. Probably like FIFA or the IOC. But anyway, to bring it back to the Texans and Colts, very excited for that game. You want to weigh in on it, you can. 713-780-3776 to call to Texas on the table all show long. Just me, no Joe today. He's getting tooth surgery right now. I did kind of want him to come in potentially, you know, all drugged up. It would have been pretty funny.
Yeah. Or like with the gauze in his mouth. I don't know if they're doing that. I just remember when people got their wisdom teeth taken out, that they would always have like the big gauze in their mouth.
Correct. And you would also be put out. That's generally when you would... Yeah. Come out of that surgery, you do something weird. Supposedly, I was waving my hand like I was the Queen of England.
That's fun.
I don't know. Anyway, Astros, they got three games against the Arizona Diamondbacks this weekend. I think that every single start for these two guys going forward, Yusei Kikuchi, Justin Verlander, are tryouts to be one of the Astros' core three in a playoff rotation. Framber Valdez is on the hill tonight against Brandon Pfft. He's got a weird spelling for his name.
I remember this guy from the playoffs last year. I never learned how to actually pronounce his name.
I mean, it looks like Brandon Fat.
Yeah, or Pfft.
But Pfft.
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 And the two A's, too.
Correct. Yusei Kikuchi's tomorrow against Eduardo Rodriguez. We've seen the Astros touch that guy up before. And then it's Verlander Sunday against Ryan Nelson. Why not call your kid Ryan? I'm sorry I dump on names all the time, but Ryan's a fine name. Ryan's
tough because it's R-Y-N-E, right?
Yeah. Anyway, they're good, the Diamondbacks. And all of a sudden, you're just 4.5 games up on the Mariners because you got swept by the Cincinnati Reds, a sub-500 baseball team. I wasn't sure that Arizona would be able to keep the magic that they had last year going, but they have. I mean, the team with the World Series hangover, it's the Texas Rangers. It's not the Arizona Diamondbacks. They're 79-62. They have four wins more than you. They're just in a difficult division in the National League West, 5.5 games back of L.A. They have the second wild card. Corbin Carroll is in the midst of a 14-game hitting streak, but he's reached base in a franchise record 47 consecutive starts. That's pretty good. He was the National League Player of the Month last month, hit .280 with 11 homers. They also have Eugenio Suarez, who you might remember from the Seattle Mariners not too long ago. Since July 1st, he has the most runs batted in all of baseball. This is going to be a tough series this weekend. The Mariners are still hanging around, but I don't think they're going to be hanging around forever. And I also feel like long term, they're not overtaking the Astros. I could not believe this when I saw it. They are going to move forward with Jerry DePoto as their president of baseball operations for 2025 and beyond. I saw that in the Seattle Times this morning, and I thought for sure this is trolling. Mr. 54%, the guy who said to the fan base that over the next 10 years, we're okay winning 54% of our games. Something that could only have been greenlit by Mariners ownership. And they're keeping this dumbass. And I'm sorry to call him that. I do have his number. I thought we were friends when I was up there. But you can't say that to a fan base that wants to die. Seattle is a sad, sad city. You can't tell them that you're only going to go for 54%. And they're keeping them.
And by the way, they're under 54%.
They are.
They're at 500.
He's a sensitive guy, Jerry DePoto. I've been hearing some stories over the last couple of weeks from my Seattle friends about things that I didn't hear about when I was up there. And this guy, they're going to keep him going forward? If you're a Mariners player, how would you feel about that? Not good. Especially if you're hanging around. I mean, there's got to be in the back of some of these guys' minds, well, okay, Scott Servais, our manager, who I'm sure they liked, might be gone, but maybe Jerry DePoto will be gone too. Nope, they're keeping him for next year and beyond. And beyond, why? Why? What has he done? And again, this is great for the Astros. This is great news for the Astros. I feel bad for Mariners fans, though. Yeah. I do. I had a nice relationship with them when I was up there. I feel bad for them. This sucks for them. It's great for the Astros.
He's like Brian Cashman, except way less successful.
Way less successful.
At least Brian Cashman could be like, hey, those 90s rings, right?
Cashman had a dynasty.
That someone else built for him.
True. He did win in 09, too. But
he won in 09.
But that also...
And they do make the playoffs every year. The Mariners have made it once in 20.
Correct. But God, what are we doing? I love it for the Astros, but what are we doing?
For Mariners fans, that is depressing.
Yeah, honestly, that would be akin to you're in a race, and you see the other person, not close, but you think to yourself, okay, if I keep driving, I could potentially catch this person in an hour, 2 hours, or something like that. Just got to bide my time. And then someone in the back seat just sticks their head out the window and stabs your tire with a knife. It's deflating.
Yeah.
To know that this guy is just stuck around with you forever. It sucks.
It also speaks to the ownership that they don't, the fact that they don't see anything wrong or that they don't want to change anything. Because that's always the hope when you are one of these teams like the Mariners who have ownerships that's not willing to pay. You hope that, okay, well, they're supposed to be good this year. Maybe they're embarrassed into paying some money. Nope. It doesn't look like that.
If you're an Astros fan, you should be happy, even though this is a tough weekend series, and there's theoretically a world where we're looking at the Astros only a game and a half up on the Mariners at the end of it. It would involve the Mariners sweeping a team. That seems unlikely with their offense. It would also involve the Astros being swept again and losing six straight. But hey, I mean, remember, the Mariners had a 10-game lead on the Astros, and it dissipated within a month. It's not that far-fetched. Anyway, Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul, Sean Mavis behind the glass. I have a bone to pick with our station. I don't like being sexualized. I know a lot of people think that I do. Yes, privately, publicly, I don't know. And you should check this out at ESPN 975. But Sam, the social media savant, put together our Houston Texans season predictions. I predicted the Houston Texans to go 11-6, make it to the AFC Championship game, lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. I did not know how I looked when I was making this prediction. So for those who don't know, I like short shorts. Show off my quads, my donk. I got some power source, okay? I didn't realize that if you're sitting while wearing short shorts that are maybe a little bit tight, because again, you got a donk and you got some big quads, I didn't realize that these shorts would be highlighting my package. You go look at my predictions, and I'm glad it's only a brief glimpse, but I'm sitting in this chair with short shorts, and it is the battle of the bulge. The bulge is out.
I want Sam next time to just blur it out. Even the, you are wearing shorts, but just to blur them out, just to be safe. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, wait, is Paul naked at the station?
Yeah. I mean, that's never happened. But I'm a little disappointed. I feel used. I get it. Like, we're trying.
Yeah, hey, trying to get some clicks.
We're trying to get some clicks, you know. And it's been nice that we have a female touch now on the social media side of things with both Sam and with Abigail, you know. I mean, let's be honest. Most sports radio hosts, we're not just talking about this station, aren't exactly lookers, right? They're not exactly lookers, but I don't want people looking at my...
Oh, wow.
My stuff. You're right.
That's
a lot, isn't it?
And you're also just in the middle, so it's like we see John and Lance, we see Joe and I, and then yeah. Whoa!
And by a lot, I don't mean it's a lot. I have the Irish curse. It's not a lot, but it's a lot, if you get my drift. Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul. You want to jump in, 713-780-3776. That's how you call. It's how you text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975 from the 346. Joe is going to get himself a Paul Wall grill, a gold one. I don't know about that. We also have a call right now about the Houston Astros. La Salsa? Is that real? La Salsa, hello.
Hey, what's going on, Paulie G? Hey, I want to wish the Astros, a series win. But also, how's your dating life going, man? I wanted to update. Let's go.
People always want a dating update. Okay, so here's what's going on right now. So, for those who don't know, I have been regularly seeing somebody for 2 months and nobody else. I don't know if we have like established that this is a relationship or if we've established that it's exclusive, but I'll just share the most recent update. We've been chatting. We haven't seen each other in a bit. One of us has been out of town or, for like most of the last month. So here's the latest update. I got a text from her yesterday while I was getting my hair cut. Thank you very much, Annie. If you're ever questioned about like where to get your hair cut, like just hit me up. Slide in my DMs. I'll let you know. Annie's great. She's been cutting my hair for almost a decade. My hair looks great right now. At ESPN Houston on YouTube. At ESPN 975 on Twitch. I know. I'm delaying the point. But she texted me this. Golf, ice skating, or NASA virtual reality exhibit thing? I respond to this saying, options. I love it. So I don't know if I'm ready to golf again yet. It gets me riled up. Open to it soon. Ice skating sounds amazing. Is this Galleria or somewhere else? A little bit later, I texted, I pick ice skating. No response.
Wrong pick?
Did I make the wrong pick? Is this yet another tell that I may not lean the way that she wants me to lean? Because I will admit, there's a lot of... You know, when I think of ice skating, I think of hockey players, but there are a lot of male figure skaters, and they generally are of a certain sexual persuasion. I don't know.
I think of Blades of Glory.
I might have just implied that I am not that into her. So we'll see. I'll keep you updated on that. From the 832, congrats, Paul. What's his name? It is a name. I'm not going to share the name, but it is a name that could be a man's name. It's always weird when you see a man's name like this, but there was a wide receiver in the NFL who once had this first name.
Okay.
That's it. No more.
It's not a
no more.
Danielle Hunter situation.
No more. Listen, we gotta I give you guys a little bit, but I also want to keep this person, you know, from you fiends, specifically the toxic Twitchers.
Keaton McCardell.
Yeah. Her name's Keenan. No, it's not that. Keenan McCardell, great dude, by the way. I think he still lives in Houston. Galana George, no Joe, just Paul, on a Friday, got to get down on Friday. Football Friday. Coming up next on this fine radio program of ours, do we trust this team in a big spot? I'm not talking about the Texans. I'm not talking about the Astros. I'm talking about the best football entity in the state of Texas, at least right now, September 6th, 2024. We'll discuss. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5. Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
I want to talk about that as Stroud. A little play action to start. Good protection. Airs it out for Collins. He's got it. One play. Touchdown, Texans.
Texans swarm. That was how they opened up their game last year against the Indianapolis Colts. Last game of the season, Saturday night in Indianapolis. From the sound of things, they knew that was going to be the first play of the game all week long. And Nico Collins just ran by the entire Colts defense. Collins was so awesome in that game. He really was. He was the entire Texans offense. They hung on for a win. It's going to be a tough matchup. I'm just telling you guys, I'd love to say that the Colts are pushovers, but Jonathan Taylor has always given the Texans issues. He's averaging nearly 6 yards a carry in his career, and we're not talking about in one game. We're talking about in six games against the Texans. And on top of that, I think the Colts have a pretty good front seven, and I think this Texans offensive line is rather untested. Last year, Sean Mapes' beloved Texas Longhorns proved that they were battle-tested, and they are tomorrow at 11 o'clock playing in the biggest game of the college football weekend in Ann Arbor against the defending national champion Michigan Wolverines. Now, I think we had some healthy skepticism last year when Texas, in also week two, took on Alabama. But they went down to Tuscaloosa, and they won, and they won rather convincingly. Maybe it was because of who Alabama was playing at quarterback. Whatever the case, Texas looked really good in that game. So now, a Texas team that made it to the college football playoff but lost to Washington is on the road to Ann Arbor. And I'm curious if we're at a point where we actually trust Texas to take care of business. Because I think Texas is the better team, and I think Texas should win this game. I don't know if I'm alone in feeling that way, Sean. This is your bread and butter. But Texas is 7-point favorites per yes. mybookie.ag tomorrow in Ann Arbor.
I think there's a little bit of overlooking or just take Michigan played an ugly game week one against Fresno State. I think it was 16-10 or something like that going into the third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, they pulled away. They got a pick six. They pulled away. And I think because of the difference of how Michigan looked versus how Texas looked in their week one game, Texas won 52-0 against Colorado State, that a lot of people are drawing a lot of conclusions from those two results. And the fact that Michigan is, I guess, still doing the two-quarterback thing, although I have my antenna up on the Michigan two quarterbacks that they trotted out there last week.
I think that they're going to use one guy.
I also think they're going to – I don't know which one, but I think they're going to use one. And I think they'd use two last week because they thought we can use two this week and make them prepare for both, and we could still beat Fresno State using the worst quarterback. I do think they're going to ride with one of them. I don't know which one. I don't know if it's going to be Alex Orji. He's more of the running type of quarterback. He had a package for him last year where it was basically a wildcat type deal. And then the other one, I forgot what his name was. He's like some former walk-on, you know, junior now, heart of the program, that kind of thing. Davis Warren, that's his name.
Davis Warren, interesting. As a Texas fan, are you comfortable being in a spot where your team, your alma mater, as a 7-point favorite against a marquee program that's also the defending national champion.
Defending national champion.
Do you feel good? Because, look, no J.J. McCarthy anymore for Michigan.
Yeah.
No Jim Harbaugh for Michigan anymore. I would feel, if I were in your shoes, I would feel confident. However, I know it's been a rather up and down, specifically down, last decade or so.
No, I have a little bit of that DNA still in me where it is like, I would not be surprised if they lose. Like, I think they'll win. I won't be surprised if they lose. A lot of other Texas fans are like very confident about this. It is crazy how confident some of these guys are.
If bleep hits the fan for Texas, I'm very curious to know who will be the first Texas Longhorn fan to say, well, Sherrod Moore should be suspended.
That probably will happen too. Yeah.
When is that punishment coming? I thought it was coming. Harbaugh didn't get it.
I would guess next year is when he gets suspended, because this is the NCAA case. The Harbaugh stuff was Big Ten. Was Big Ten punishment.
Right.
So they're a little bit faster. But yeah, bring up Sherrod Moore. I mean, he was the coach for Michigan. For Michigan when they played Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Maryland doesn't count. Who cares? And Ohio State last year. So he did help them win their three biggest regular season games. So the idea that there's like some giant drop off from Harbaugh, there will be, but that will be more in 2025, 2026, like building a program. I trust Harbaugh more than Moore. But as far as like getting guys ready to play for week two, I don't think there's going to be that big of a drop-off. I think the biggest thing is the guys they lost on defense. They still have a couple good defensive tackles, but they just lost so many like top three-round picks from last year's defense. And McCarthy, who, you know, he didn't light the world up. He didn't put up great numbers. But he was someone who got drafted 11th overall, and he was effective. So I have some concerns about that, about just the defense, the Michigan defense against the Texans or the Texas offense. That's probably the game to me.
It's a rather light college football weekend, so if you are people who have significant others, after 2:30, 3 o'clock, like, you're good. There's really only one game of note. I know that there's NC State and Tennessee later.
Yeah,
on.
NC State, Tennessee, and Colorado, Nebraska are the nightcaps. 2:30. Unless you're a sicko, it's pretty light. You want Iowa State, UTSA, Texas State.
Right, exactly.
That's what we're talking about.
Colorado, Nebraska, even too. I feel like I get it, Deion Sanders, but like, I don't know. Last year it was fun when they beat Nebraska.
Game.
This, I guess, it is a rivalry game, but it's like, hey, these programs were good in the '90s,
yeah,
which were 30 years ago. Yeah. Okay. By the way, we share a lot on this show. No Joe, just Paul today. Galan and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. For those who don't know, the last segment, someone called in. They wanted a date update. And I told you and everyone listening that the person that I have been seeing for the last 2 months texted me, golf, ice skating, or NASA virtual reality exhibit thing? To which I responded, I don't know if I'm ready to golf again yet. It gets me riled up. Open to it soon. Ice skating sounds amazing. I pick ice skating. Fake_ Victor Von Doom on Twitch says, ice skating over golf? Yes, she is ghosting you. I don't think she wants to see me golfing. I just don't enjoy golfing. I don't. And it's not even like I'm horrible at it. It's just I get way too angry that I'm not awesome at it. And it's not fun. Now, she's cool because she can put them down. And, like, actually, despite not being very big, like, she can keep going. She's, like, she's a marathoner when it comes to drinking, which I respect. That's what I want. That's what I want in my wife, eventually. I want someone who's going to just get blitzed with me on a Saturday, you know, roaming around. So that's good. But, I don't know if I want her to see me golfing yet.
Yeah.
Ice skating. I think I can ice skate.
Oh.
Pretty sure I can.
Okay.
My dad was a hockey great up in the Northeast back in the day. Never got allowed to play hockey. Still a little bit mad about that. Mom. You know what I got to play early on?
What?
Ballet. I did ballet when I was in kindergarten.
Oh, so you'll be great at ice skating.
Grade. Well, I got great balance.
Yeah.
But I wish I had done hockey growing up. Instead, I got to do ballet. Great.
Got to do ballet.
Yeah, got to. Exactly. I remember when my
Lucky, I didn't get to do ballet.
You know, there's a word you're not allowed to say anymore, and that word was thrown around at me often as a youth, and because I did ballet. I didn't know what it meant.
How old were you?
Like second grade. What, in Massachusetts, swears and
no, it's just
derogatory
very...
slurs are just common vernacular.
It is funny to call like a 7-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Well, I don't think any of us even knew what it meant. We just were watching South Park.
Oh, the other kids were doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, other kids were doing it. Yeah.
I thought like Sully from Sullenberg was
it. No, Sully from Somerville wasn't doing that. My dad was not thrilled when he found out that I had been signed up for ballet, though. He was not thrilled.
Yeah, I bet.
But he gave me impeccable balance. And see all these stickers on my high school football helmet? It made me a great player for a low level of high school football in St. Petersburg, Florida. It is Gallant and George. No Joe, just Paul. Up next. The 10-minute drill. There was a Bill O'Brien moment in last night's Chiefs-Ravens game. No, I'm not talking about Bill O'Brien in Boston College upsetting Florida State on the road. I'm talking about bleep you, mother bleeper! You'll hear it next. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. I actually can't believe that this offer is being handed out by MyBookie.ag as of today because they're doing all sorts of things this year. A new loyalty program called MyBookie Plus, where the more you play, the more you win, with a Super Survivor and Squares contest for the football season, and weekly risk-free boosts on Thursday, where if your bet hits, you win, and if it doesn't, MyBookie will refund your wager. What? I don't know how they do this. What are they doing? This is the craziest thing. If you sign up for MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975 right now, MyBookie isn't just going to match your first deposit like they've done in the entirety of the time I've been doing these commercials for them, that I've been partnered with them. They're going to double your money. Promo code BET975. They're going to double the money you get to play with right away. Yeah, that's awesome. What are you going to bet on this weekend? You can bet on tonight's Eagles-Packers game. I think it's a lock. I can't believe the Eagles are two-point favorites here. Packers are going to smoke them. That's my first one. But also, if you want to bet on the Houston Texans against the Indianapolis Colts, Texans 3-point favorites on the road. You can bet on that too. It's mybookie.ag. Bet 975 promo code will give you double your money with your initial deposit. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
You're listening to ESPN 975.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
He rushed four. Lamar trying to make magic happen. Throw it in zone. Likely 2 feet down. Yes. Touchdown. What a play. Isaiah Likely.
Is there enough to overturn?
Oh, that's on. That's on the line, isn't it?
I think.
Terry McCauley's going to have to make this call, but it looks like that toe's on the line, Terry.
I agree completely.
Oh. That noise. Oh, Jeff Bagwell in the booth?
I was going to say, who was that?
I think that was Tirico. That is a brutal way to lose. Ravens came basically Isaiah Likely's huge foot away from potentially tying that game up. It looked like they were about to go for two, so they might have gone for the win on the very next play. But upon review, the catch overturned, the correct call. Chiefs are 1-0, Ravens are 0-1. Isaiah Likely had a great game for Baltimore. I think all the people who drafted Mark Andrews in their fantasy league are a little bit concerned because Andrew just did not look good. But Likely had that big catch and run touchdown, and also almost a touchdown to tie things up at the end. But he had a Bill O'Brien moment on his way out of Arrowhead Field. For those who did not catch it, here is Isaiah Likely, tight end for the Baltimore Ravens, yelling at a random Chiefs fan.
You bitch!
Whoa. a little aggressive. Not the first person to do that to Chiefs fans. Nick Sirianni did something similar last year.
Not great company to be in.
Bill O'Brien's rant was against the Broncos. That game against the Broncos.
Yeah,
right.
They're down 35-3 at halftime. I think. Right. Or no, they lost 35-3. I forgot what the score at halftime was.
It was the Kareem Jackson revenge game. I think
I was at that
touchdown. Game. Yeah,
I was not yelling at Bill O'Brien.
No, but Bill O'Brien yelled back at a fan. Bill O'Brien, a little bit of a teapot. Isaiah Likely, a little bit of a teapot. Likely wasn't done chirping. And I feel like that interaction with the fan had something to do with what Likely said about the Chiefs' victory after the game.
This is probably the worst game we're going to play all year. So if this is the best that they got, I mean, good luck in the postseason.
The best that they've got? Come on, man.
I was thinking about that. Put a grade on what you thought the Chiefs' performance was tonight. Like, was this? I don't think this was their A game.
No, I don't at all. I thought it was a C plus at most.
Yeah, I was thinking B minus C plus kind of game for the Chiefs. I don't think they weren't clicking at all cylinders.
Right, they're without Hollywood Brown, who they believe developed outstanding chemistry with Patrick Mahomes this offseason. Xavier Worthy for his first game. I mean, his first catch was a touchdown.
He was wide open. Like, the Ravens
Both
just
times.
did not defend him. So that there's a little bit of the how did the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy? Where I'm like, I think anyone left wide ass open the way he was going to score that. But yeah, he was good.
He was good.
He looks like he belongs.
There's some catches in traffic that I think you could say. Well, I don't know if he's going to be a physical receiver, and the Chiefs do kind of need one. But we'll see what Keon Coleman does for Buffalo as well. For all those who are like the Bills, but it does look bad for the Bills right now. But Xavier Worthy, a rookie, Rashee Rice, he was out there, and Travis Kelce. I think that offense could be way better than we saw.
If you put Brown in there.
Yeah. I mean, like, Isaiah Pacheco's second efforts were, like, the best offense for
Pacheco
the Chiefs.
Pacheco was good, too.
Pacheco's a great player. I really like him. But, I mean, I don't know what the Ravens are talking about here. And honestly, I felt like the Ravens approached this game like it was their Super Bowl. They were trying to get revenge. Lamar Jackson, I don't think he slid once. He looks fast. I don't think he's going to last 17 games if he's doing that every single game. Jackson played, I thought, out of his mind in this game.
I think Jackson was really good.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Minus the deep pass. Obviously that last sequence at the 10, 15 yard line.
Yeah.
That's what's going to be kind of remembered from this game. But I think throughout the game, the deep passing, there's one that he was all right on. It was the deep one that almost got an interception, but it was a one-on-one. He gave his guy a chance. But for the other stuff, I thought he was overthrowing guys left and right.
He had a couple of missed throws.
Yeah.
I still thought he played great, and I feel like if the Ravens lose a game like that, if I'm the Texans, I'm looking at the Ravens, I think they are ripe for the pick. I feel like they looked poorly coached in certain spots by John Harbaugh. I thought they had some weird management decisions. I don't know why they were throwing so many short passes in the first half when they clearly weren't working.
Yeah, that fourth and five play call was terrible.
What are you doing? The sequence right before halftime where the Chiefs were allowed to call a timeout they probably shouldn't have, I thought was very sloppy by Baltimore. I think they cost themselves a touchdown there. I didn't think Baltimore played very well. I agree, but I also think the Chiefs didn't play particularly well either. The Chiefs are the better team, though, and Isaiah Likely, watch your mouth, dude. Like, you lost this game.
Yeah. About Lamar running, I do agree with you that I think he was focused on it. I mean, the offensive line for the Ravens did not have an awesome game, and Lamar can kind of just do that. He can make them look decent. And with the sliding and stuff, I don't need him to slide all the time, but I need him to not lower the shoulder onto guys at going, like, there's the one kind of towards the sideline where he could have just run out of bounds, but he decided to lower the shoulder. That's where I do feel like there is some legitimate kind of this is their Super Bowl-ness with it, because I think they were trying to send a message.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he runs as much next week, though, against the Raiders. That's just a guess.
I would also think the same thing. I feel like this was, it's the Chiefs, I'm going to give it my all. Yeah. And he did play well, but it wasn't enough. And is he going to play like that every single game against the Chiefs? Because last time we saw him against Kansas City in the AFC Championship game, he really struggled. We saw the new kickoff in action for the first time. What did we think? 11 kickoffs, 9 touchbacks.
Yeah. I mean, the, bringing it out to the 30, the extra 5 yards.
It's not a real mitigating factor. Yeah.
The XFL, they did it to the 35.
They should have done it to the 35.
Yeah. I don't know why they did a half measure there, but even then, I'm not even sure if they would have done it, if they would have not touched it back every single time.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. We have a Friday night football game in Brazil tonight.
Yeah, Friday night lights.
The Eagles are 2-point favorites for mybookie.ag over the Packers. I think that's crazy. I also think it's crazy that we're playing games in Brazil. Whatever. If you're picking this game, pick the Packers. How are they dogs? I don't get it. The Eagles lost all their games down the stretch, and they kept their head coach.
Yeah.
I truly do not understand it going into this year. I mean, they have a mediator so that Jalen Hurts can talk to Nick Sirianni.
They had to hire a guy just to sit in the room. I mean, he's, I think, the quarterback coach or whatever, but just sit in the room with them. Yeah, I have a hard time buying the Eagles. I think later in the season, if there's a situation like this where you go, what? But feels like the line should be flipped the other way. I think in that situation, I might just blindly trust Vegas and be like, oh, okay, there's something fishy here that we don't know. Week one, though, I'm going with my gut.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, why are the Packers underdog?
I don't get it. I don't get it either. Yeah, it's not like they're playing. If they were playing in Philadelphia, I would actually understand it. They're not playing in Brazil.
Yes, and I know Vegas takes that into account. I know they know. I might forget who's home and who's away. They don't forget home, away, or neutral.
No, they don't. More NFL news. Jalen Ramsey got paid again. Jalen Ramsey is now the highest paid corner in the NFL. 3-year extension worth $24.1 million a year. It's 3 years and $72.3 million. He is the highest paid corner. So the top deals for corners in the NFL continues to get higher, and the Houston Texans are going to be giving that to Derek Stingley in the very near future.
Stingley beats this one. I mean,
yes,
with years and I think with AAV.
Years, I wonder, because Nick Caserio has yet to give a longer than 3-year deal.
That is true.
And this is technically a 3-year extension, but also Ramsey was under contract already.
Yeah, so, and I think Sertan is more of the benchmark.
Correct.
Than Jalen Ramsey, just because Ramsey's been in the league way longer.
Patrick Sertan, the second, for those who don't know, got an extension earlier this week with the Denver Broncos that was almost $100 million, but not quite. I think it was 4 years and 96. The Cowboys and Dak Prescott are making progress on a contract extension. Dak even confirmed a report about that. That's interesting. I thought for certain that there's going to be buzz about Dak Prescott being a free agent. Maybe the Cowboys are actually trying to take care of this. I also thought it was interesting that Brandon Cooks, when asked about criticism of Dak Prescott, called it blasphemy. I thought Brandon Cooks was religious. This is blasphemy, criticizing Dak Prescott? Dictionary.com. And last little tidbit of news across the NFL. DeAndre Hopkins, remember him? Former Houston Texans wide receiver, now with the Tennessee Titans. Well, if you're looking at the Tennessee Titans as a potential threat in the AFC this year, Hopkins is trying to play through an MCL tear right now. I guess he suffered it 4 to 5 weeks ago or so. Good luck with that. That's going to be tough to get back from to 100%. Will Levis maybe in a little bit more of a precarious situation. It is Gallant and George. No, Joey's getting teeth surgery today. I am Paul Gallant. We got Sean Mapes behind the glass on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, this is perhaps, even though it's coming from a fan of a hated team, one of my favorite weekly traditions in the NFL. You'll find out what I'm talking about next. In musical form. Stick around.
DirecTV and DirecTV Stream customers, you have lost ESPN, including college football, Monday Night Football, ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, SportsCenter, and so much more. Take action now. Call 844-KEEP-MY-ESPN or visit keepmyespn.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Here it is.
It's in Minshew's hand, and a drop by Goodson. Texans make the stop, and they take over up by six.
It was that close in Indianapolis, Saturday, January 6th, in the capital of Indiana. The Stroud boys marched in, and they held firm because that poor guy, Mike Goodson, Colts running back, dropped that pass. He had it. It's one of the few passes Gardner Minshew did not screw up in that game. Minshew was terrible. And yet the Colts still had a chance to win the game, and I think they're going to be a tough matchup for the Texans on Sunday. The Texans, 3-point favorites on the road in Indianapolis. One of the very fun things that I have discovered, and we've all discovered together this offseason in Indianapolis, is that there's a Colts fan who regularly does a pump-up song before every single game. Sean, what is this guy's name?
That you really put me on the spot.
Sorry,
there.
I'm putting you on the spot.
I don't know.
I want to give him proper credit.
I can find it.
Okay, cool. But because I'm someone who appreciates a little bit of music. Paul, we all know why you appreciate music. Shut up. Just because I like a musical or two and don't mind singing from time to time, that's not a reason to assume who I am as a person. Okay? Thank you. Do not assume my sexuality because I am a musical little boy. Sean, what is this fabulous artist's name?
It looks like Seth Erskine is also a musical little boy.
He is. He likes him some music. And this is his pump-up song for the city of Indianapolis before Texans and Colts on Sunday.
All right, Colts season is here. Let's go, Colts! Woo! This is our Colts. This is our team. We bleed blue. This is our Colts. Whether win or lose, we love them. For the shoe, beat the Texans. Let Goodson get his good pay back. This is our team. Go Colts! Nee!
I like the neighing at the end that he does. I thought he'd have a little more for us, though. Come on, this is a rivalry game.
And he had 9 months to cook this up.
Yeah, it was like, Mike Goodson, revenge game. Is Mike Goodson even still on the team? He shouldn't be after that. You should be cut for that one. For the 972, sounds just like Paul. I'm a little offended by that. I'm a better singer than him.
Yeah, let Goodson get his good payback. I don't know if I
love could improv something better than
I don't know
that.
If I love those lyrics.
I think I could do better than that. This is our Texans. This is our team. We bleed battle red. This is our Texans. H-Town number one. Make the Colts dead. We are Texans. D'Amico Ryans is not a milk dud, man. This is our Texans. Steven Nelson, not here anymore. I mean, just on the fly. Come on. He could have done a little bit more than that. I feel like the first two verses, we get it. It's the same thing over and over again.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the dependability of this is our team, this is our Colts, we love them.
Well, now that he's made it mainstream, he has to step up his game.
He did step it up a little bit. The Colts mascot was in this video on the YouTube that he posted. Mm-hmm. So he has stepped up production quality, it looks like. And yes, there was a cameo of, again, I don't know what the Colts mascot is, but the guy in the blue horse guy, he was there too, saying, we love them. He did the heart hooves.
Nice. YouTube Keith comments at ESPN Houston on YouTube. Got to work a Texas... Texans swarm in there. Damn, I messed that up.
We swarm them. He's not a milk dud, man. This is our team. Texans swarm.
I think we do like a moo.
Oh, no.
It has to be a moo. Moo.
Or that's the swarm instead of the moo.
Okay. Like, I mean, either could work.
Go Texans.
Swarm. Okay. I'm there. So, look, it's going to be a tough game. It's going to be a tough game on Sunday in Indianapolis. At least they're going to Indianapolis during a nice time of year as opposed to in February. It is crazy that the very boring people who cover the NFL love to go to Indianapolis to go talk shop about football. What a dump of a city to go to. My dad is a salesman. He's traveled the entire country. And while he's definitely one of those people that thinks that Boston is the center of the universe, there's a lot of those. He hated Florida until now. He lives there half the year. And he's like, oh, it's actually pretty good. Oh, you don't say, Dad. You don't say. It would have been nice if he felt that way when I, you know, lived there. It's fine. It's fine. I'm working through my issues. But my dad would always tell me about this one time where he went to Indianapolis. And the 3 days that he was there, he said, this is the worst place I've ever been to. And he told an airport bartender this. And my dad loves talking to people at the bar. And he did it in a polite way. And I think he convinced that person in Indianapolis to move. I think he did. I really do.
What a salesman.
My dad's a charming guy. We're talking about a guy who, when I was in college, was dating somebody who was like 4 years older than me. I mean, he's a charming guy. She was obsessed with him. I don't understand it. I was pissed. I was like, what the hell? I'm still a virgin. Here's my dad out here knocking boots with someone in their mid-20s who's hot, too. It wasn't just anybody. It was like, talking like 5'10" Russian model with an incredible body. Oh boy.
So, but we're not going to talk about your issues.
We're not going to talk about.
We're going to talk about the Colts.
Talking about the Colts. They have a good front seven on defense. They have Jonathan Taylor and Anthony Richardson. I really do not know. I don't know what he is. I don't know what to expect.
That's good. That to me is the biggest wild card in this game. Is he still going to be? I mean, I imagine there's always going to be a level this year of rawness with him where. You know, you can really see the 17 games since high school. Like, you can see that in his game. It's not going to be as polished as, honestly, the two guys we watched last night or C.J. Stroud or, you know, any of these other guys that are at the top of the league. But with his physical tools, like, he might just put on a bonkers performance, and we don't know that.
He strikes me as somebody who's going to do that like 3 to 4 times a year, and people are always going to try to convince themselves that he's better than he actually is.
If he can bottle that, he's going to be a guy where the good games look awesome, and it's just a question of, are you going to get the awesome games?
You mean what people do with Justin Herbert? You mean what people do with Trevor Lawrence? Again, they're talented guys, but you got to be consistent. Stroud's already in 1 year, I think, proven that he's consistent. We'll see what happens with Anthony Richardson on Sunday. If you want to weigh in, Summerhill, if you want to weigh in on Texans Colts, you can. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. You can text in too. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston, and we're on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. How are the Houston Texans feeling about the two teams who are clearly above them in the power rankings based off of what they saw on Thursday Night Football to kick off the season? Do the Texans think they can take them? The natural male urge to fight somebody for no reason and size them up and imagine it in your brain. Galan and George, no Joe, just Paul, stay put.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
See website for details. Millsap is not a lender and does not make credit decisions. Must be 18 years old. Not available in all states.
Honey, the credit card bill came and we're maxed out.
Great. Maxed out cards, rent is due, bills are piling up. We just need some extra cash to help us get by for a few weeks.
We should do what my brother did. He went to BillsHappen.com and got $3,000 the next day.
With our bad credit, I don't think so.
BillsHappen.com is different. They are one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with all credit types get up to $5,000.
I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork.
Nope, my brother said it was easy. He did it right from his phone.
If you have a regular source of income, you can be approved for a loan for up to $5,000 in minutes, and your cash can hit your bank account the next day. BillsHappen.com's lenders have millions of dollars to lend, regardless of your credit history.
Great news! I went to BillsHappen.com, and we will have our money as soon as tomorrow.
Wow, that is fast.
If you need extra cash, go to BillsHappen.com. That's BillsHappen.com. BillsHappen.com.
Teachers are dynamic leaders.
shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Achieving this takes skill and expertise. They're tireless explorers, creatively discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, experimenting, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, and connecting with each other. Leading by example. Experience the unique joy of helping students thrive. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready to begin? Explore teaching at teach.org, a campaign supported by the U.S. Department of Education, teach.org, and 1 million teachers of color.
Sunday on Compass Media Network's coverage of the NFL. A new season is here, and the march to Super Bowl 59 is on. Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys look to make an early season statement against Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns. Hi, this is Jerry Recco. Join Kevin Ray, Steve Berline, and me for all the action as these two cross-conference powerhouses kick off the new year. It's the Dallas Cowboys and the Cleveland Browns. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
Sunday at 2:45 on ESPN 97.5.
Guess who?
ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.